as Janine was going up, I was like, sorry about that one. It's pretty bad. I've read this passage a number of times, and the first time I saw it, I was like, wait, that's in the Bible? Begins, though, the beginning of the reading makes for a really good pop reggae song. You've heard it. By the rivers of Babylon. You have it? When we walked down, and there we wept. When we remembered Zion. When the wicked carried us away in captivity, required from us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The pop song, the reggae pop song, pretty much ends there and then has some goodness at the end, but shies away from that awful stuff. Now, both the song and the psalm express pain and sorrow, yeah, but the song doesn't quote that end part. The sentences at the end of this morning's reading are awful, beyond awful. They're evil. And I can understand at least a little bit of anger, but I can't understand the pain that the writer of this psalm felt. I wasn't there. I don't know the writer's mindset. I can't understand the anguish of the people who endured the atrocities committed against them by the Edomites. I wasn't there. I can't quite understand it. Maybe I can't understand it at all. I can't understand a desire to kill children. Ugh. Ugh. Even if your enemies have treated you and your children like animals, I've never experienced that kind of rage that would come from seeing the atrocities that people felt. I can see how a person would want payback as the only thing that would give them satisfaction. That's in there too. I can see how a person would want revenge after they had been treated so savagely. I can see how people today want revenge against those who murder innocents. But I can't understand that last verse. Can't understand it at all. I wish it wasn't in the Bible. But it is. I don't want to read it. I'm not even going to say it now. Some people are more understanding with this. They say that the entirety of the psalm gives us permission for being honest with God. Say anything to God. And I agree with that part, not as an excuse for Psalm 137, but I agree that we can say anything to God. We can chew out God. We can yell and scream at God. We can call God awful names. We can vent. And in our venting, we do let go of some anger and some pain. And in that venting, that crying, maybe it begins a slow process of healing. And even in what we would consider to be our completely inappropriate words directed at God, God understands and God listens, always. Because here's an important thing to remember. When I was growing up in Sunday school, I didn't learn it this way. What I learned then was, if you think something bad or if you say something bad, you should never ever this and never ever direct it at God, because God is always good. It's kind of like God's going to get you if you don't behave, and especially if you say something against God. Well, here it is. God is not the cosmic sheriff waiting for humanity to mess up so that God can respond with lightning bolts. God doesn't do that. Psalm 137 isn't the only awful place in the Bible. In Isaiah 13:16, it's not just, I wish that this would happen. It is the wrath of God against the evil that get awfulness. I'm going to let you look up Isaiah 13:16 all by yourself if you want to, and say, oh my God, that's in the Bible. But even with the awfulness of Psalm 137, the end of that, Isaiah 13:16, I gotta repeat, God isn't a cosmic sheriff waiting for humanity to mess up so that God can respond with lightning bolts or something like that. Harsh, awful words have been used to describe what God is like. Those words were written out of human fear, anger, sadness, and agony. But God didn't like that. I know it's in the Bible. I know we have to deal with it. But I'm telling you, God is not like that. There's something different going on in today's reading. Something that we can learn from. See, this is a psalm. I know Isaiah is not a psalm. Isaiah is a book of prophecy, and we have to deal with that on a different level. Psalm 137 isn't a promise book. It isn't a promise chapter. The Psalms aren't promises in that way. They are raw human emotion. They're written from people. They acknowledge that they're written from people. It isn't a view of what God is like. It's a view of one person's experience. It's the powerful, raw emotion of someone writing out of pain and anger. Psalm 137 doesn't call on God to pay back or kill anyone. It has the voice of the writer saying that happiness will come to the ones who get revenge. It says happiness will come to those who slaughter their enemies and their enemies' children in revenge. Revenge doesn't make you feel good. Maybe for a short time. I mean, I get that. In today's political climate, it seems like revenge is the rule. I'm going to get back at insert person, insert political party for doing this or doing that. Revenge doesn't work. Revenge gives you this delicious energy at first, and then it's totally toxic. It's totally toxic to your entire system. We can say anything to God, though. We can. We can speak out of anger. We can be awful in God's direction. Look, in reality, it's not okay to seek revenge against our enemies. We can say it. We can say, God, I wish this, I wish that. But we got to know that it's not okay to seek revenge against your enemies. It's not okay to call for the slaughter of anybody. Payback is dangerous. Because it doesn't pay back anything. It doesn't square things. It only makes things worse. Wishing harm on our enemies, our adversaries, comes from a desire to pay them back for what they've done. And that kind of justice, retributive justice, big fancy word, it doesn't work. Revenge is no good. But with that said, and you know, a little lesson going on there, let's not forget that these horribly offensive words are right here in our Bible. In the pew. This is definitely not even a PG-13 book. They're in our sacred book. Can we judge the whole of our Bible by the presence of anger, offensive verses, or unacceptable texts? No. I mean, we can, but we really can't judge any religion that way. Every religion with a sacred text has verses that they wish weren't in there. So let's not think that we're all great and someone else is not good when we've got the same kind of awfulness in our sacred texts. We can't judge any religion by awfulness in their history or awfulness in their sacred texts because we're not going to be at this for a long time. Let's just call the end of Psalm 137 what it is. It's horrible. It's unacceptable. It's evil. We can leave it like that. It's in the Bible. We look at it, we're like, no, that's wrong. And let someone who is going to do with it, if it's in the Bible, God said it, and we have to abide by it, let someone come and be angry about it, but, I mean, is anyone going to disagree on that? That's awful. Let's not follow that. Let's learn from that instead. We can acknowledge the pain expressed comes from deep within a heart that has been through devastating circumstances and brutal treatment at the hands of someone else. We can seek to be agents of healing instead of division when we hear others cry out. We can hope that others will hear our pain and will be agents of healing instead of division when we cry out. This, and really a whole lot of other psalms, remind us that in our anger, in our pain, in our sorrow, we can cry out. We can sing the blues. And in our crying, we can begin the slow process of healing. We can begin to live with and heal from devastation as we remember this place of pain and grieving. Amen.